Mental health has been a rising concern within all communities around the world, and a lot of people have been struggling in Chicago or local areas. These concerns are some of the most common but untreated due to people not knowing how to get help. And mental health can be all sorts of things. These problems may be traumatic events the individual experienced, or these can be things something dealing with an emotion such as depression or anxiety.
Today we are talking with Neil Clay, who works with NAMI Chicago. This is an organization that educates to fight stigma and discrimination, fiercely advocates for a community, and shares hope, connection, and expertise with people on their mental health journey. They help find ways to treat and overcome mental health conditions.
Okay, so first, we have found some statistics where depression has spiked. I'm wondering if you think COVID has affected people's mental health or like their depression.
Absolutely. One of the main things that COVID did was increase social isolation by an incalculable number. So for individuals who maybe their families were the source of some of their stress, or people who lived alone, or folks that just lost all of their friend groups, they lost all their ways to interact, especially, both physical and just being in person interactions, really increased those depression symptoms, which is causing the spike, in my opinion, that we are looking at right now.
Perfect. All right. Thank you.
What ages can be affected by depression?
Well, that is a tricky question. We probably aren't going to diagnose depression in folks that are real young, but you might see that happening, an actual diagnosis coming as small as 7 or 8, up to end of life, basically, would be the time frame that we would do. Anybody can be affected by it more. Adults tend to, because by and large, they are responsible for their own lives. Depression symptoms get in the way of those things. With kids, they have some material support from family members, typically. And so depression symptoms don't necessarily impact their lives as much. So it really it affects treatment the way that we would respond to that.
Okay, and then with those different age groups, how do you typically identify depression?
Well, we have a tool called the DSM-5 that kind of goes over the different criteria for depression. But generally, the symptoms that we're looking for are lack of appetite or overeating. Either one is a symptom. Mm-hmm. Insomnia or hypersomnia, that's too much or too little sleep. Fatigue, low self-esteem. Difficulty concentrating, indecision, hopelessness, or agitation. Just generally feeling sad counts in there as well, but we're looking for some specific stuff when we're trying to identify that it's depression as opposed to sadness because of life circumstances.
Is there like a certain like time frame that those have to be occurring for you to diagnose them with depression?
It depends. It's going to end up being based. There's a few ones that are acute, like they're happening just now, whereas there's also ones that are more chronic for longer periods of time. Like, for example, persistent depressive disorder. It's got to be present in an adult for 2 years, but a child, it could only be present for 1 year. That being said, the other ones here, you really just need to have one episode of depression in order to enter that sort of diagnosis. Now, those diagnoses can go into remission if somebody has gotten therapy, they've been gone through treatment, and they're not feeling those symptoms anymore. We might mark that symptom as in remission as opposed to active.
Okay.
How can you treat depression?
Well, that can be different for every person. It's important that treatment starts as soon as possible, because what works for one person doesn't work for others. It's largely based upon developing positive coping skills to deal with what's going on. Like I was talking about how COVID, increased isolation. Being social, being with other people is one of the main ways that we build strong support people that we use in order to help people recover. Some basic things, you know, like listening to music, taking appropriate naps, play, things like that. You can also treat depression with animals. Doesn't necessarily have to be a trained animal, just somebody that you would like enjoy spending time with and interacting with, things like that.
I definitely love my healing for my animals.
Absolutely.
What are some leading factors in anxiety?
Leading factors of depression?
Of anxiety.
Of anxiety, okay. I think that it is increasing amounts of stimulus. Internet and phone phone usage allow us to have constant information on our fingertips that we may or may not have the ability to control. And so being able to hear in intimate detail about terrible things that are going on throughout the world, whether that be, you know, across the world, like what's going on in Russia and in Palestine right now, or other things that are happening in our country. We have access to those things, so people can start worrying about more things. I think that again, isolation can help contribute to that when you are away from other people. That you can start worrying, getting stuck into concerns that you have because you don't have any other points of view and other people to check in about it. Yeah.
And lastly, how do you find ways to help with anxiety? Are there remedies that you can do personally? Are medications better with that? What do you recommend for people to do with that?
If somebody is dealing with anxiety that's stopping them from doing the things they want to do, like, for example, we take social anxiety. If you're not able to attend events with even your close friends that you would like to go to because anxiety is preventing that, at the very least, you need to get in to see a therapist. If you were having physical symptoms, like panic attacks, where they mimic heart attack symptoms, shortness of breath, tightness of chest, overheating, things like that. Those physical symptoms, again, at the very least, therapy, that might also have a medication either added to that regularly or occasionally, depending on what the person wants and the severity of the symptoms. Ways to manage it, if it is not an anxiety condition, is, again, the same sort of coping skills. Distraction, play. You might see I'm playing with a fidget toy right now, something to keep my hands busy while I'm talking, and that can really help with stress and worry. But then also there's a lot of like thought, changes that you can make. There's a type of therapy called cognitive behavioral therapy that mainly deals with this, but what a person can do by themselves is pay attention to the evidence for the things they're worried about. Is this something I actually need to do something about, or is this something I can't do anything about, or that, you know, it's impossible to affect? If you can't do anything about it, it's probably unhealthy to continue to be focused on it. So focusing on what you can do, and otherwise focusing on relaxing are the ways I would recommend people take care of it themselves.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for the time. There are many ways to get help, such as organizations you can reach out to, including your local NAMI organization. There are more groups out there that offer free therapy and support. And there are also online hotlines and messaging apps that offer free therapy. You can even find a therapist to help break down whatever mental conditions you may need help receiving.
Lastly, we recommend reaching out to your family or friends that you trust. If you have somebody in your life who cares about you, it might help to open up and ask for help if you are feeling down. We want everybody to know that you're not alone, and there are ways to receive help if you need it.